It's time for a little R&R.
Ball into the bucket, lays it up and in.
Ball game, Rizzo!
Live in the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios, this is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
This team is going to be tough when they finally get it together.
Sit back and relax. Let Russo and Rizzo take you home.
Oh, mercy!
Well, it's Monday. It's the 20th of July, 2026. Colin Russo, Mike Rizzo with you. We got Elias Bustamante behind the glass today. Full strength. We're at City Play Studios in downtown West Palm Beach. It is Russo and Rizzo right here on ESPN 106.3. Welcome on in, folks. Got you for the next couple hours today. Extra time today, Mike?
Yes, the final episode,
Extra Time is today.
Very bittersweet.
6 to 7, so stay tuned for that with Mike Rizzo and Damian Perez. Post-World Cup final, which happened yesterday between Spain and Argentina. And I give Elias credit. Elias was on it. I didn't want to bet against the Magic. And what we saw was complete and utter domination. One of the worst games of the tournament. I know it was close late. You could take that. But in terms of you were never under the impression that Argentina was going to be in this. Spain wins 1-0. They dominated possession. They dominated chances on goal. They dominated all offensive opportunities. Messi was pretty much a non-factor. And Argentina, the book gets closed and done with. I don't know if it's the end of Messi's international career with Argentina. He didn't necessarily give an answer to that. But it looks to be that Spain, who had only allowed one goal in 8 games, that's the most anybody's played in the World Cup in terms of games, keep that in mind, and is the least amount of goals anybody's ever allowed, tied with Italy, is Spain in 2010. You know, a handful of teams bouncing around. 3 teams have ever allowed 2 or less, and they've all been 2, and then now Spain, who has broken their own record at only allowing 1 goal, courtesy of Belgium. Give Belgium credit throughout this entire World Cup. An illustrious run. We sort of let them fly under the radar when they were in the semifinal. They were probably the 4th smallest terms of team that we were talking about out of England, them, Argentina, and France. And they shut everybody up.
Well, they didn't necessarily blow the door.
They flew under the radar almost.
I think their group stage performances, granted, they won the group, but their group stage performances, I don't think anyone was going, wow, they look like an absolute juggernaut. Now, a juggernaut defensively, absolutely. They didn't give up a goal during the entirety of the group stage. But what impressed me the most about France, you know, Lamine Yamal, I thought throughout the tournament, the way he cut inside, the way he passed the ball into the box. Like, I thought he was good. He was good, but not great. Like, he wasn't that all-time great player. He didn't give that all-time great player performance throughout the World Cup.
No doubt.
And they still were the most dominant team. So, hats off to Spain. They were absolutely the best team in this tournament. I remind everybody, you know, granted, games are played. We change our opinions.
Here we go.
I changed my opinion to France.
You can't take credit. The tournament. You cannot take credit.
All of us said before the tournament it was going to be Spain. They were the hottest team coming into the tournament.
You can't take credit now.
Yeah, you
changed your mind.
Yeah,
you changed your mind. You can't take credit.
But still, before the tournament, I want everyone to know, before the tournament, people were all over Spain. So let's not act like they were under the radar by any means.
No, but in terms of how they played throughout the tournament, they did fly under the radar.
Now, with that said, I had a real issue with Argentina yesterday. They never went for the game. They never wanted the ball.
They were playing for PKs the entire way.
There should have been 2 yellow cards in 15 minutes. There should have been 2 yellow cards. They're lucky the referee didn't blow that whistle early and often. Always a second red card on Enzo Fernandez, and the game was over right then and there. The moment Argentina went down to 10, they were never coming back. You know, I thought Spain had a perfect game plan for Lionel Messi. It's very unfortunate that Messi wasn't really able to do much in the final.
Let's call it like it is. He was a non-factor in the game.
He had a stinker. And I think a lot of that has to do with how well Spain played. But, you know, the antics after the game were completely unacceptable. They were completely unacceptable. I mean, it was absolute Bush League. Remember when Argentina beat England? And you had Romero celebrating in the face of Pickford. You had all of the Argentinian players celebrating in front of Bellingham and basically baiting them into doing so. Like, Argentina didn't win with class against England. Lo and behold, fast forward to the cup final, and they act like that after the game. I had a real issue with that. Now, I have opinions to myself on how CONMEBOL teams operate. I think it's CONMEBOL thuggery. I've seen it time in and time out from teams out of the Federation. They don't know how to lose, is what I always say.
For those who don't know, South America's Federation.
They don't know how to lose. These teams don't know how to lose. And I thought that I understand that Argentina wanted to get physical in that game. And to be fair, they needed to get physical in that game in order to win. What I didn't like is that they never wanted the ball. They never had the ball for consistently long periods. I mean, look at the Argentina team throughout the tournament. They loved having possession.
They knocked.
They were knocking on the opposing box and the opposing goal. You had no shots on target the entire game. I mean, you never had a chance in the game. And I feel foolish because we did a digital soccer special before the game, and we even did a watch-along for the first half on our YouTube page at ESPN West Palm FC. And I said before the game, I go, I finally think Spain is going to get tested in the midfield. And my partner, Damian Press, is like, Riz, I don't see it. I don't see it. He was right. I mean, Spain was all over them from the jump. They were pressing. The moment Argentina had the ball, Argentina barely had the ball across the midfield point for the entirety of the first half. I think Messi touched the ball one time in the first half. So very disappointed in the way they played on the pitch. And then the off field, you know, the after the game antics were completely bush league. And I think it's a shame because it's kind of overshadowing the great tournament that Lionel Messi had. You know, people are turning against Argentina and Messi now.
No, they're a villain. There's no doubt. They're a villain.
Correct. Now they are. You know,
well,
now they
were heading in. People didn't love Argentina.
They were because of the calls and the VAR, but I think if they would have won with class like England did, or rather lost with class, excuse me, like England did and other teams, then I think you'd be able to look past some of that. Now, be fair to Messi. He wasn't a part of that debauchery. You know,
he never has
mean?
Been in his
and
life.
And he never is that player and never will be that player. He wasn't a part of that debauchery. But the fact is, the some of the Argentinian players.
I agree.
An absolute
disgrace. It was choppy. There's no doubt about that. Now, Elias Bustamante, who has CONMEBOL ties.
He's Venezuelan. Venezuela's in CONMEBOL.
Your reactions to Rizzo not only saying Argentina was a little bush league and how they handled themselves versus, and also the comparisons to perhaps the rest of the federation.
I mean, in a way, I don't agree with him. I know South Americans. We play rough.
Did you think Argentina handled themselves right post-game, during game yesterday?
No, not at all. Not at all. Although they say, oh, they are giving their backs to Spain and they're not watching them with the World Cup. That's fine.
Disgrace.
I mean, that's honestly, France didn't do it on the last World Cup with Argentina for a fact. They didn't do it either. So it's okay. It's whatever. I don't think that's so bad from them.
I don't think it's that big of a deal. But
no,
I understand.
Not at all. But you know my
on
point.
On top of everything else that happened, that's my argument.
Yeah, of course. Now on the game, yeah, I agree with Mike here. I mean, Argentina. I mean, they couldn't play any other way. They couldn't hold on the ball. They couldn't do anything else. So what are you gonna do? Play for a draw? Play for a penalty kicks? And that's it. Do it because you couldn't even create. You didn't have the muscle. Plus, remember, Argentina played two games back to back, 120 minutes, both game extra time. So they were tired. Spain had a full day of rest. They never went to extra time, so they were relaxed. So that's also where Argentina had those, you know, substitutions in the first and second half that basically moved the whole team. So it's sad for Messi. Argentina, I told Mike and I told everybody when the tournament started, is not playing well, and they didn't face any good team all the way into the final, which is Spain. Any good team that is going to make them play and make and show us why are not as good as 2022.
To be fair, England's a great team and they were able to beat England, but I understand the point. The group was a joke, Elias. I won't argue that. Argentina's group was an absolute joke. They struggle with Cape Verde. Listen, Cape Verde's got my respect, all right? But they did struggle in that game, an opponent that they probably should have beat 2-3-0.
Cape Verde gave Spain problems, too.
Yeah.
Switzerland as well. Now, they were playing haram ball. They were never serious about going forward. But I could argue Argentina was playing haram ball in that cup final.
Hate to see it finish like that.
Colin, what makes me truly upset and very sad for my guy Lionel Messi, maybe this is me being biased, boys, but I really thought that if they would have gave it a fair go instead of playing bully ball, I really thought they could have competed with Spain. I really do. They never had anything serious offensively. And Montiel starting the game, you know, Lautaro Martinez not necessarily coming onto the pitch in timely moments either. I don't know, man. I think Scaloni, for the first time in 2 years, got a couple of things wrong with that lineup as well. I know Argentinian fans are very upset the fact that Lautaro Martinez didn't have that chance in the box the pass from Messi to the wing and then the winger pass in, which ultimately went right of the net. A lot of Argentina fans are upset it wasn't Lautaro. Listen, I could say coulda, shoulda, woulda, all I want.
Yep.
Spain was the better team. They deserve the credit. But I think if Argentina could do things different, I don't think they should have played thug ball, you know, the moment the game started going. And I think if they actually played Argentina possession style of football, they would have comparatively had a better chance. Would they have leaked more goals? I think so. And granted, there should have been four goals scored if Emi Martinez.
It should have been 3-0 at least.
If Emi Martinez was on his head, I did want to give Emi credit. He wasn't part of the debauchery after the game.
Played a great game.
And he broke the record for most saves in a World Cup final in the history of the World Cup.
They had 20 shots. I mean, they were all over him.
So, yeah. And he was the only reason that that was nil-nil in what, extra time. But regardless.
The 106th?
Colin, what sucks is you brought it up in the show meeting. Man, that cup final sucked for a North American final.
It was bad.
Awful cup final. And I wanted this World Cup to go down the best World Cup in history. I sadly don't think it's that, but it's
because you don't get the great final,
Certainly one of the more successful World Cups, and I think on a commercial side of things, and I think in a moment in time in a world where we needed some unity, we all came together, and I'm very proud of what this North American World Cup was able to do.
Yeah, do you think Argentina handled themselves poorly in terms of game plan, Elias, as well?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, first of all of them were tired, exhausted. All the Argentina players were exhausted. Plus, remember, when you're playing with Messi, yes, you're playing one of the best in the world, 100%. But Messi is a player who doesn't run, who doesn't pressure, who doesn't make anything. You give him the ball and he creates. That's all he's going to do. And that has worked and nothing bad at all. But Spain figured out how we can stop Argentina, how we can make them more exhausted, you know? Let's just overload the right side of the field where Messi is. He's not going to run. He's not going to pressure. And that's what they did. So that's why Argentina couldn't figure out what changed. You're not going to take Messi out of the field. You're not going to take your best player out of the field. So that's what happened. That's what happened for Argentina. They didn't have any plan. The coach, Scaloni, is also exhausted. He said he's going to go all the way until December, and that's it, probably. So I think it's going to be, you know, a new team now. Messi, we don't know if he's going to stay or not. I think he's going to go. I don't think he's going to stay in the Argentina team anymore. That's all, Mike. It's almost 39 years old.
Now, Elias and Colin, have you guys seen the videos that are surfacing of the Argentinian players crying in the tunnel outside of the locker room before the game? I don't know what the hell happened there.
Before?
It was before the game. Messi basically... So, Lisandro Martinez, who got injured in the fixture, by the way, Elias, great for United, you know. But Martinez, the guy who got hurt, and then Enzo Fernandez, who picked up the double yellow, they were crying to the point where Messi went into the locker room and said, guys, forget about it. We're all good. Let's go. And they walked out onto the pitch. Mm. Something was off them before the game even started.
Interesting.
It seemed like something. I'll send you guys a video. Something was off before the game even started. But the game plan, to answer the question again, the game plan, I thought, like I said, the first time Scaloni messed up
He's had a great tournament for what it is.
Keep in mind, this was the guy who was punching all the right buttons when they won in Qatar with substitutions, starting 11s. Punch all the right buttons this tournament, subbing on Martinez against England, getting that game winner. Like it sucks that it had to happen in this moment. And I don't know if you saw him in the press conference. He couldn't even contain himself. Yeah. He apologized the entire time and walked off a mess. And I think a lot of that goes to show how much they care about Lionel Messi and how much they wanted to win this one last one for Messi. Hey, I messed up. I'm so sorry. And he couldn't spit it out. And he walked up and left. So, you know, poor Messi was crying afterwards. It was an awful day, honestly, for me. It's an awful day for me watching.
Is that the last time we'll see Messi in a competitive international Argentinian game?
Now, maybe he plays in qualifying. I don't know if he'll play in qualifying.
Why would he?
I don't think he should. Personally, I don't think he should.
It's not your team anymore.
If he doesn't plan on playing in the World Cup, in the 2030 World Cup, I don't think... Give an opportunity to a young man who might have the chance in 2030.
They're Copa American reigning champions, too. It's not...
By the way, who the hell am I to tell Lionel Messi what to do? But do you get what I'm saying?
Do you think this is the last time we'll see him in Argentinian jersey?
I just think it's going to be the last time. Just taking consideration, Messi's 39 years old, first of all.
And you got to leave at a good time. You got to leave in the highest moment.
And boys, didn't it seem like it was the last one when he was crying on the pitch?
Yeah, 100%.
Didn't it seem like that was it?
He didn't say anything specifically about his future. He didn't want to overshadow. I don't think he wanted to overshadow the team, and he didn't want to overshadow probably Spain. So I think he was smart to not say, this is my last one, I'm done. Because that would have overshadowed the story.
Yeah, 100%.
And I think that was a classy move in terms of competitive sportsmanship. Give Spain their moment. And then, you know, if you don't need to announce another time.
Remember before the World Cup, he didn't announce if he was going to go or not. Yeah. He was like, oh, I don't know, maybe.
Argentina wins, he might say something.
Depends on how I feel. I will go to the World Cup. At the end of the day, he went to the World Cup. I don't see him playing anymore with Argentina.
Yeah.
39 years old. He already completed football. He already did it. World Cup, Champions League, Copa America. He has everything. So why would he? You know what I mean? Like, I know you want to compete, but why? I'm already done. So I think he's going to be the last one. I think he's going to announce it probably. Probably he's going to play one more game with Argentina. In Argentina, just to say goodbye, you know?
That's a good point.
Like a memorial game or something like that. Just a goodbye game. And then that's it. He's going to retire from the national team.
Now, I have a Brazilian buddy, Antoine, who's ready to come to the station, you know, throw hands outside for it. I said about the Cumber Bowl. Trolling aside, he said, Riz, now everyone understands why we hate Argentina so much after the game. You know, and now with Lionel Messi, like, let's keep it a buck. I loved Argentina because of Messi. All right. Do I like the other? Like, I like Enzo. Don't get me wrong. But, like, with no Messi.
Fun team, no doubt. Fun team.
With no Messi, the way they acted after the game, I think they're going to be an unlikable bunch moving forward. Especially without the GOAT on the roster anymore.
They're going to have some crazy soul searching to do because Messi controlled every statistic for them. He was the focal point. He was the heart of that team, the soul of that team.
They got to find a new identity.
They got to find a new identity. You're going to have to change everything. Yeah. Belly up.
Now, for Portugal, it worked out in the worst way because, you know, Cristiano was the identity, but he couldn't go anymore. Messi still had legs, so, like, he was great. You know, he was second in the Golden Boot. But now you take away the greatest player of all time. Yep. What's that going to look like? I'm interested to see how Argentina
Hopefully Argentina
forward.
Doesn't become like Brazil, who now they don't have any identity.
Now, Elias was on Brazil before the tournament, too. Elias was right about Spain, and he was right about Brazil.
Yeah, you're on it. You did
he was
job.
Right about Spain, and he was right about Brazil. Yep. And the thing with Brazil, it's like, I don't understand how that doesn't come together. They have players. Like, they have players. The fact that they, and granted, I think they ran into a buzzsaw with Norway, but, you know, not to focus too much on a team that didn't even play in the final, but I think the reason I'm bringing this up, the Cumber Bowl becomes open now. It's no longer, I think, the big baddie in Argentina.
Uruguay's old.
Right. So I think this is a golden opportunity for Brazil to cash in without a Lionel Messi-less Argentina. We're 4 years away. But Elias, as you know, we got qualification games kicking up here in the fall.
Yeah, but remember, the next World Cup is going to be different.
It's not going to be hard to qualify.
Not at all. So at the end of the day, remember, Argentina, Paraguay, and Uruguay are already qualify for the next World Cup. They'll still play. They're going to still play the qualifications. They have
Between
to.
Now and then, you get Copa America.
Yeah, 100%.
You got tournaments.
How many teams? How many teams?
I think it'll be 64.
And it's a joke.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, Mike, you say it's open because Argentina is not doing well. Uruguay is not doing well. Brazil is not doing well either. I'm not saying, well, we'll see Colombia doing it. We don't know. I mean, it's open.
Well,
because
Colombia could
remember,
score goals.
Yeah, Colombia was ugly
too. But remember, Brazil has 5 World Cups. Uruguay has 2. Argentina has 3. So even though if you say Argentina is playing bad right now, maybe in 2-3 months, they'll be playing good again. Yeah. Because they're Argentina. They know how to play these type of things, how to recover. The same with Brazil, same with Uruguay. So I don't think it's going to be open. I think it's going to be the same as always. It's just like, you know, they're not maybe as strong as before. But I mean, there are 4 still. So
a lot of question marks, though. It's
Yeah.
I think DePaul will be out of there. I think Messi will be out of there. I think a mixture of Molina or Medina, the fullbacks as well. We'll see if Emi Martinez is still the elite goalkeeper in 4 years as well. So that's the only reason why I bring it up. But listen, I know we got to hit a timeout, boys, but the 64 is
I love it. I think it's going
to
work.
This is coming from an Azzurri Blue fan. You guys are going to have to explain to me when we come back because even as an Italian guy who hasn't been to the last 3 World Cups, 60 is ridiculous.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later.
We'll talk about that later. We'll also talk about some of the records that Spain broke by winning yesterday's World Cup in terms of not only run, but also unbeaten streak throughout competitive international men's soccer. We'll talk about that on the other side. First things first, Anajar and Levine accident attorneys are your option here in South Florida if you're looking for an accident attorney. That is car accidents. That is truck accidents. That is slip and falls. Mark Anajar and Glenn Levine will fight for you. You know they're going to fight for you because they don't even get paid unless you do. They want you to get the maximum compensation that you deserve. And you can call them today and just get a free consultation. Just talk to them. Just talk to somebody who knows what they're talking about. If you ever get into a fender bender, all of a sudden you need a little help, that's where they step in. Don't settle for just any attorney because there is 2,000 options in South Florida. But you want to make the right decision when you're looking and you dread the day that you need an accident attorney. But when you do need one, go the right direction and go Anajar and Levine. Pick up the phone, take out that one phone call, take back control of your life. Call 1-800-747-3. That's 1-800-747-3733. Anajar and Levine, accident attorneys. Spain broke a bunch of records. Is this an all-time great World Cup final winning team? Is it an all-time great World Cup winning run? We'll talk about that on the other side of things. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Let's get back to the Anajar and Levine Accident Attorney Studios. This is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
It is Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3. And perhaps in memory of Messi's illustrious, unbelievable international career that might have come to a close for the Argentinian team, I'll tell you what Mike did after that 1-0 loss to Spain. He poured himself a glass of Gason and held it up. Here's to Messi and Argentina.
Yep, and Kyle, I actually did the premium red, you know, my favorite, in honor of Argentina and Lionel Messi. But folks, that is the Gason 0%. You know, from the 0%, no alcohol. You know, being 5 years sober, it's how I enjoy myself during parties, functions, whatever it may be. And this time, to Colin's credit, it was a sad toast to see the greatest footballer of all time hang up the international boots. But you can't drink every night, folks. I remind you, you got the car, you got the kids, you got to work in the morning, whatever it may be. Instead of going to that, you know, Florida pool party, the Florida beach party when you got to work, go to Publix, go pick up the Gason 0%. They're located in all Publix locations down here in South Florida. Stay sharp, stay focused with Gason 0%. That's the way I drink Gason. Let me know how you drink Gason, because on my social media, at MikeRizzo22, I make posts called The Wine in 5. Comment how you're drinking Gason. Comment and tell me how you like it. You know, I had my buddy Mike Davis. I have this story, you know, him and his wife Michelle, they were trying to cut back on drinking, more or less. And they picked up the Gason. They go, wow, Riz, this stuff is actually really good. Folks, I urge you, Gason 0%. Let me know your experience with Gason, and you can go pick it up at Publix.
There you go. And we talked about Argentina's side of it and whether how much they screwed up in the game and this, that, and the other. How about some records that Spain were able to break winning yesterday's World Cup final? Most clean sheets in a World Cup. Spain went 7 of 8. 7 of 8 in clean sheets, no goals. 7 of 8, that is a record. Least goals conceded in a World Cup. Spain now has that record solely at 1 goal through 8 games. Oldest manager to win the World Cup is Luis de la Fuente, who is the Spain manager. And the longest unbeaten run in competitive men's international matches stands alone. 38 matches since Spain has last lost in international play, and that is competitive matches.
And I think that was 2022-2023, when Portugal beat them in the Nations League.
I think so.
Oh, my goodness. So what a run.
5 years, 4 years, essentially, that what they have run. Not lost. And that includes and is capped by an international World Cup.
Give credit to the gaffer, De La Fuente. He's been there forever now. He was a former coach of Athletic Club in Spain. Unai Simón, the goalkeeper, who
he
plays
for in real life. And they went with him instead of Raya.
And it's just the spoil of riches they have on the bench. I could argue De La Fuente and Pedri, who is a world-class midfielder, Colin, who before the game I was like, is this guy, how the hell isn't he sniffing the lineup? You know, and I'm like scratching my head why Pedri isn't in the lineup. They sat Pedri, a world-class midfielder, and they sat arguably the best club goalkeeper from last season in Raya, and still gave up one goal. It's an all-time great team. It's the best way I could put it. The 2010 team. Now, Elias, you had this for us. How many goals did the 2010 Golden Generation Spain team concede in South Africa?
2.
And how many did this team concede?
1.
One last game, too.
Dude, this is an all-time great team. It's the way I look at it. Lamine Yamal, played good, but he didn't have that greatest player of all time kind of World Cup like Lionel Messi and Kylian Mbappe. Yep. And they still were the most dominant team in the competition. Insanity.
The last time Spain lost, you said Portugal, I think we were wrong, was Colombia on a friendly game, 1-0, March 22nd, 2024.
But friendly doesn't count.
It counts as on a record, yes.
That's a competitive match?
On a record, yeah, for the team.
We got to confirm that. I didn't know that. The friendlies actually count towards competitive match record?
Yeah, for the coaches, yeah. And for the team,
Spain has played 38 games in the last 2 years.
Yeah, because remember
that's a lot.
Yeah, but remember that's an international game. So domestic league's top.
I'm gonna be honest. I have no idea.
Does 38 sound right in 2 years?
I would think that friendlies does? Don't count. I would think that friendlies would be my guess too.
All right, interesting.
But when it comes to competitions and real cup, I mean, go look back at the Euros. They didn't lose at the Euros.
Yeah, because that friendly was right before the Euros.
Yeah,
that friendly against Colombia was right before the Euros.
Huh. And how about this? So first, second, third, fourth, and fifth. In terms of most matches consecutively unbeaten for a national team, Spain is number one, obviously ongoing. You're right, since 2024. And Italy, 2018 to 2021.
Just stop.
37.
Just stop.
Argentina from 2019 to finish off at the World Cup in 2022 was 36. Mm-hmm. Brazil was 35. That was from 93 to 96. And Senegal and Spain had 35 and 34, respectively, in the late 2000s. And Senegal was... ended last year at 33. Mm-hmm. So how about that? So that's number one. Number two, you're talking about all the teams in terms of goals conceded throughout. France, Italy, and Spain. France in 98, Italy in 06, and Spain in 2010 all played seven matches, conceded two goals apiece. So three teams tied for first place there. And Spain at eight games played, alone at one.
Yep.
Now, is it unfair? I know the crazy thing is I sat here last week heading into the semifinal thinking, there's a good chance that we'd be sitting here this Monday afternoon talking about France being one of the best World Cup teams in the history of the sport. Now you got to flip the script a little bit. Yeah. This Spain team, I know it wasn't pretty, but I mean, hey, 2010 dominated, but they didn't dominate 4-0 either.
Now, Dom, who is a marketing consultant with us here at ESPN West Palm, she watched all of the World Cup. She looked at me and Julian Elias and said, you know, Spain's boring to watch. I would agree with her. Like, I would agree that Spain is boring to watch. For me, though, the tactical brilliance of it, knowing what they're trying to do.
By far the best coach team.
Knowing what they're trying to do. Like, watching Spain yesterday dominate possession, press Argentina in their own half, never giving up on it. Like, truly, De La Fuente had the entire Argentinian 11 on puppet strings. I mean, it was crazy. But I could understand when people look at me and go, hey, Spain, that was boring to watch.
It's not as sexy.
I get it. But I remind everybody, too, that Emi Martinez had about, 15 saves in the game, and you probably should have saw some goals. You know, if it'd be 3-0, 4-0, it damn near could have been 4-0.
It was an onslaught,
match.
And they beat two great teams. They beat the two teams that were in last World Cup final.
As far as you said kind of you're feeling foolish about the French thing, dude, France, don't feel foolish about it, because France, everybody was saying that. The 11 that they had, the legendary coach in Deschamps.
Well, they looked it. I mean, they were 14-2 in goal differential. They looked it.
And even their path, I could argue.
They dominated Morocco.
Yes. Their path to get to that game, I think, with all due respect to CR7, Cristiano, I love you, but their path to get there was harder than Spain's. So I sit here on a Monday with Spain being the winner, still thinking that France was a good team. Now,
and they completely outclassed France, too.
Yeah, but that on Portugal, the path was difficult for them because they didn't win their group, not because, went against them, just because Portugal wasn't good enough to win their group.
Well, yeah, Portugal wasn't great this World
Cup.
Wasn't great,
that's why. If not, the path to Portugal was going to be easy.
France was lucky that Paraguay beat Germany, even though that was a tougher game for them. They were lucky about that.
I said in retrospect, France's, I think, way to the semifinal was harder than Spain's way to the semifinal. That's why I said, with all due respect to Cristiano and Portugal,
Belgium's better than Morocco. I mean, Morocco's better than Belgium substantially. Yep. So that was their toughest route.
So I how about that third place? Okay, boys, can I pivot real quick? Did you have? I got to be honest, man. I think the third place game is an absolute waste of time. But I did have fun watching 10 goals.
Well, it was a great goal. It was a great.
I did. I got
to
say,
that's sacrilegious to the game to
it
count
is,
it.
110%.
To count
it's a FIFA game.
Golden goals. Mm-hmm. That is sacrilegious.
Hang on.
It's Boomer. That's a waste of time.
If they're going to
play, not win the golden goal because of that.
If they're going to play that godforsaken game, let it count.
I disagree.
Don't play the game.
I agree there too. We can't have both.
Don't play the damn game.
But they're not going to take it out. They're not going to take it out, Makes
money. That's a waste of time.
But makes money.
Dude.
You get Dembele strolling in there in the 65th, like, oh, wow, nice to see him. Fourth best
How
player in the world.
Saka finally getting fully healthy for a game that didn't mean anything.
Oh, my God.
Well, he was healthy for the semifinal, though. He was healthy, just they didn't play him.
I'm trolling
Arsenal. Tuchel benefited from the game.
Yeah.
But they all walked in saying, we don't want to be here. What are we wasting our time? Nobody wants to be there.
Every team planifies to be in the final.
Why are we counting the goals?
10 goals.
Yeah.
Why are we counting the goals?
That game had 10 goals.
It was fun, though. There's no doubt about that. But there was a Mbappe was very obviously goal hunting. You know, he was absolutely looking for stats. Oh, what a waste of time. What a waste of time.
You hate Mbappe.
I can't stand Mbappe.
It's awful. That's awful.
888-760-3776. Are we looking at one of the great all-time teams in Spain? And was that third place game a complete and utter waste of time in the King's English? We'll start in Wellington. Leo in Wellington joins the program now. Leo, what's up? What do you got for us?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I think I was just overall impressed with the way that Spain could just literally manhandle and do almost anything they wanted. Yeah, Argentina had barely even like a breath of chance, but they even in those corners late in the game in the extra time, Spain still felt kind of in control. You were always just kind of holding your breath though to see if Argentina could equalize. But I thought it was a great game. And then as far as the third place game, I think it just shows how good the offenses can be if the defenses aren't really trying and they got their backups in. But I do think it should count because, you know, like bowl games and college football count for stats. So why wouldn't a third place game count?
It's a good comparison. I just think the one thing about it is there is a pretty monumental award on the line, and the quality of game that, you know, Messi is playing in that final against Spain versus what Mbappe is playing against a second-string England team is a little different in terms of how we should grade their entire runs. But again, that's their eighth game. We got to judge all eight. We can't just judge the last one. So I do see both sides. I just, watching the game, you're like, this is a little simulated for me.
And the storyline heading, the two big storylines in my eyes was centered around the gaffers. Deschamps was, obviously, it was his last game. Zinedine Zidane, which is a good hire, by the way, is a new coach for Les Blues. And Tuchel, Colin, I told you I thought Tuchel needed that game.
Why?
I told you.
Why does that save his job?
Some kind of juice.
Why does that save it? No juice. Bellingham was, you know, handing out water.
You know
waters.
What? That's mediocrity. That's all.
That is a waste of time.
Hang on. Let me explain.
Who nobody could stand 48 hours ago, all of a sudden, scores six goals against, you know, the backups, and all of a sudden we should run away with it?
Let me explain. Number one, I don't think the English Federation was firing him after one World Cup.
I agree with that. You're probably right.
They went to his semifinal. I know England fans think everything but winning is a disgrace.
I don't disagree.
Go back and look at England in their major competitions. 2018, semifinal in the World Cup. 2020, final in the Euros. 2022, quarterfinal in the World Cup. 2024, the final in the Euros and a third place finish. Pretty damn good. Now, the reason I'm screaming about England, because Carter from Atlanta is joining the show. Carter, an English-American. Colin, when you were at ACC Media Day, Carter was beside himself when his lads obviously blew it against Argentina when they weren't brave, up 1-0. They went back to the same old English football, 5 at the back, blowing a 1-0 lead. Carter, do you change your mind a little bit on Tuchel after the 6-4 battering for the Three Lions in the third place game? Go ahead, Carter.
No, Colin is spot on about this. That game is such a joke. It's so stupid. I was thinking the same thing, Colin, before you said it, that those goals shouldn't be – they shouldn't count. The easiest way to put it is that if that was the final, England versus France, do you guys really think that game would have been 6-4?
No.
There's no way.
So,
I mean, that's why those goals shouldn't go towards the golden boot or whatever. But yeah, I mean, I think that game's actually pointless. Real quick, Colin, quick question. Where's that? You mentioned last week a Dave Doreen interview.
We're gonna throw that up on ESPN South Florida here this week. So if you want to hear Dave Doreen, stay tuned for that. This week, ESPN South Florida will get posted. All right.
Okay, yeah, and then real quick on the championship game. It was a terrible game. I think that more so than just the score being 0-0, because, I mean, you know, and Mike, you watch soccer. I mean, there's good 0-0 games out there. But it would have been, I think it would have been better off had Spain got a goal early, because it would have forced Argentina to almost attack, and also you probably would have had Spain naturally pull back a little bit. But it ultimately would have been absolutely an embarrassment had had Argentina won in the PKs. So honestly, I'm kind of glad it had not gotten to that point where they won in the PKs after playing just terribly for 120 minutes.
Yeah. And Carter, I appreciate the call. Where Carter is right is goals change games. I know it's very cliche, but it's one of the more true things in world football. I agree with him. If Spain would have scored earlier, you wouldn't have been seeing the haram ball that England was playing. Sorry, that Argentina was playing. I mean, I looked at Damian. By the way, Damian Perez called that whole game to a T in our warm-up show and our first half watch-along on ESPN West Palm FC. I felt like an idiot. I looked at him at halftime. I said, Argentina doesn't have a chance in hell if this onslaught continues. Now, granted, it lasted until, what, extra time?
And then
I could not believe that a goal wasn't scored.
Once they get through that first half, they think, hunker down. Right. We're holding out.
But, boys, outside of the antics that happened after the game, because that's completely unacceptable and that makes you hate the team. But even on the pitch, I still felt like Argentina, if they were at their best, you could blame it on tired legs, blame it on whatever. I still thought they had enough to go toe-to-toe with Spain. And I could argue Scaloni and the game plan never allowed them to do that. So I see where Carter is coming from, and I actually agree with him. If a goal would have been scored earlier, I think it would have put the pressure on Argentina to put something together offensively.
It's so strange to see Argentina benefit off a team lacking aggression, hunkering down, holding down the fort, survive the game instead of attack the game, and then to turn around and do the exact same thing to Spain, albeit tied, but to do the exact same thing to Spain after taking advantage of said strategy against England is just, it's in hindsight, obviously, we're a lot smarter than what the gaffer was doing, but in the moment, you're thinking, we're going against what we have been. We are going against what has gotten us here.
Yep.
That's where all of a sudden we have a great opponent. And I understand Spain's a great opponent. We can't make this about Argentina losing this World Cup. This is about Spain killing them, right? Let's get that out of the way. But to that same token, you're thinking, dude, you 180. England did it against you. You dominated them for it. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you do the same thing against Spain. They kill you for it. I mean, what are we doing here?
It's very strange. And that's, I promise you, 11 for 11, I thought Argentina could have competed with Spain. That's why you give credit to De La Fuente, the manager and gaffer for Spain, and the way that Spain has constructed that team leaves great players on the bench to fit a certain culture. Pedri, one of the best midfielders, doesn't play. Raya, arguably the best club goalkeeper, doesn't play. You want to know why? Because it's De La Fuente's way or the highway. And I think that's why they ultimately ended up winning.
888-760-3776 is the number to get into the Russo and Rizzo taking reactions to that World Cup final. Also, is Spain one of the all-time great World Cup winning teams? I don't know what else we could look that tells us that they're not, because statistically they are. They played the most games, and they played good opponents on the way to a World Cup final. So at the end of the day, you got to give them credit to where credit is due. Let's go to New Jersey before we get to break. Cologne, New Jersey, welcome into the program. What do you got for us?
Hey, guys. Hey, first of all, that third game with England and France, I think England really wanted that game because they ended up coming in third, and that's the best they've done in the World Cup since 1966. So I think for some fans,
they needed it.
Third, especially for that.
What a story. When's the parade? Go ahead.
But also, listen, watching that game, it reminds me of back in 2014 when Argentina went to the final against Germany. And Germany, it was a good team that played together, and basically the same thing happened. 0-0, the second extra time, the 113th minute, the guy that subbed in about 20 minutes ago, he scores the winning goal, and they lose 1-0, Argentina. So, yes, it wasn't a great game, but all tournament long, I thought that Argentina wasn't as strong as 4 years ago, because obviously one of their best players retired 2 years ago, Angel Di Maria, and I just thought
those
comeback wins coming back, it was messy magic, but it all came to a halt yesterday. And watching Spain do what they do, it was amazing. So, listen, a lot of people didn't like the game, but give Spain credit. They are really good, really, really great team.
Cologne, is Spain an all-time great World Cup winning team?
You know what? Because of the Euros, they're on the verge. And also because they had the best player, in Lamine Yamal. And he's only, 19 years old? And I thought Germany was going to take off and win the Euros, and they did not the 2 years later because of Cristiano Ronaldo in Portugal, and they won. So depending on who the competition is in Europe right now, Spain probably obviously the favorite to the next Euro, but Germany was a good team back in 2014 because they beat Brazil 7-1 in Brazil, and everybody thought they could win the Euro 3 years later, and they lost in the semifinal.
Appreciate the call, Cologne. Something I want to mention again, Yamal. Good tournament, not the all-time great performance tournament.
That's, offensively, they didn't.
That's what makes it. Yeah. That's what makes the run even better. I'm sorry. You have to say this Spanish team.
They're an
is
all-time great team.
You have to say it. Mm-hmm. One goal conceded in eight games.
Yep.
Against
good teams. Against good teams too. They played Ronaldo. Yeah. Like, Belgium was no walkover either.
Dude, France, the unstoppable lace blues.
And then all of a sudden they shut down Messi's Argentina career.
In 2 years we have the Euro Cup 2028. I do think I'm telling you right now, Spain is going to win it. 100%. They're going to do it again. They did it again in 2008.
It could.
Euro Cup, World Cup 2010, and then in 2012, they won the Euro Cup again.
I don't know, Kyle. Little momentum with the Three Lions after taking home that bronze medal. Little momentum there with England.
Keep an eye on England. I know you are. But that excellent coach they got there, the gaffer.
Thomas Tuchel.
Maybe had Italy. A superb game plan against France. Maybe Italy?
Maybe Italy. You never know. Maybe in the next World Cup if they qualify.
All right. Maybe Venezuela.
We're going to go. 100% we're going to go.
Okay. All right. I'm just throwing it back at you, brother.
I mean, I'm
all
telling you right now, hang 64 on. Teams, so, 64 teams. We're going to see, I don't know, any.
I was going to say 64 teams. What we should do is have a conversation on the other side of this.
Okay.
I don't want to open up the can of worms now because we are behind it right now.
It's okay.
64 teams. Elias Bustamante, that's Mike Rizzo, Colin Russo. Ethical, Mike thinks not. Elias and I think this is one of the great things that has ever happened to the World Cup. We'll talk about it on the other end. It's Russo and Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
Live Rizzo on ESPN 106.3.
If you were big on Spain winning it all from the get-go, you probably got great odds in the Hard Rock Bet app. Wish you could download the Hard Rock Bet app. Or I should say you could download the Hard Rock Bet app on the Google Play Store or the Apple App Store. I know the World Cup's done, but you still got baseball right here. You could go game by game, parlays with that. You got all these different golf tournaments. We had the Open Championship over the weekend, which Ryan Fox was able to take it with a tournament-winning putt on the 18th yesterday overseas. You got all that action. You got football around the corner. That's overs, unders, futures. They got it all in one spot. Check out the Discover page. See what other users are putting together. Tap and tag along on their stuff. Football is going to be here because of the World Cup. It's going to be here before you know it. We got a month, and then we'll have college football. So batten down the hatches because it is coming on the Hard Rock Bet app. Download it today. Have some fun. It is offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida. Must be 21 plus physically present in Florida. The wager. Terms and conditions do apply. If you or somebody knows a gambling problem, please call 1-833-PLAY-WISE. Colin Russo, we got Mike Rizzo, we got Elias Bustamante behind the glass today. Now, it was announced, Elias, by the CONMEBOL president, am I correct? Which is the Federation of South America, because South America is hosting the opening parts of next World Cup in 2030, which is going to be Argentina, Paraguay, and Uruguay as three games to sort of commemorate the centennial, the 100th anniversary of the World Cup. And the CONMEBOL president announced that they're already going to expand. I'm surprised that Infantino did not make a big thing about this. I'm surprised the CONMEBOL president, but he announced 64 is happening.
64, he put it on a tweet, just very casual, saying we are ready for the next World Cup, especially 64 teams. That's how he ended the tweet with a video. And then, we have a new World Cup now, new format.
Oman versus Cambodia at 3 in the morning.
I'll be there.
I'll be there.
I'll be there. Bangladesh, China, I'll be there.
India versus Dominican Republic,
I'll be
there.
Tanzania, Italy, I'll be there.
I will be there.
Italy, maybe, but I'll be there.
I'll be there. Mike?
It used to mean something to make the World Cup.
No, please.
It used to mean something to make the World Cup, honestly. I mean, seriously. That's why I respect UEFA, and I like the European, probably, federation more than anything. It's hard. Guys, it's hard to qualify out of Europe. You know, Bosnia, listen, you can tell me how bad of a team they were. They took a lot of teams to the brink of a destruction that tournament. And I can sit here and be salty as an Italy fan. They deserved that spot. They beat Italy fair and square outside of the water boys stealing the bottle. Disgraceful. But, you know, it's the perks of having home field. I don't need, with all due respect, I know Curaçao practiced right down here in Boca Raton. We love Curaçao. But I don't need to see more teams like Curaçao getting battered 7-0.
So you're telling me
I don't need to see Iraq making a
Iraq made it this year.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is I don't need to see more teams like Iraq losing 6-0 to Holland.
So you're
we
saying
don't need that.
You're not going to be watching Tajikistan versus Bangladesh at 3 in the morning on a Tuesday?
What I'm saying is I might be playing Destiny 2 at that hour.
Wow.
It's just like, guys.
You're down on it. But again, I like how they're changing
diluted.
The goalposts here.
Sure,
it's diluted. Without a doubt.
Yeah. It's diluted.
By definition, diluted.
And now, what, Kyle, you're usually with me hand and foot. We're against the NCAA's expanding.
No doubt.
We're against any of the major NBA, NFL, MLB. We don't need... Why this? Why is it okay with the FIFA World Cup?
I got the same answer. I think it's because I know there is a qualification process. The qualifiers, you have the... international tournaments, there is a whole season to follow of your international team. The World Cup is a tournament that is not based on a direct regular season. It is based on a body of work that you accumulate over the years. That is not something that I personally follow with every single team. So therefore, I do not have as much, skin in the game on teams making it. Whereas other leagues, it's a regular season and then your playoffs start. Yep. It's a little different when you could qualify years out versus months out to the World Cup, and therefore I don't think it's that big of a deal to me if the qualification process is going to be between Oman and Saudi Arabia.
It's going to change a little bit. For example, in South America, I know Argentina, Paraguay, and Uruguay, who are going to host the first three games, they are already qualified to the next World Cup, but they're going to play the qualification matches still. Just to compete, to get that.
Because you can't just show up dry. You can't show up
100%.
Dry.
100%. That's what happened. That's what happened with Canada, Mexico, and the United States. Now, the only thing that worries me, it's the soccer schedule. Because players already play 65 games a year.
How are you gonna put together a 64-game team?
So how are you going to put... Right now, we had how much? How many games? 104 games?
Yep.
104 games. So we're going to have, two more games? One more game?
It will be one. Here's the question. So to that point. How are they going to do the knockout stage? And if the answer, it actually might be the exact same number of games per team. Because they still, let's say you do 64 instead of 48, right? It was 12 groups of four. That's how they did it. They might just do 16 groups of four and then cutting it down to 32. That's the same amount of games you're going to play. You're still going to play your 4-team group. And then you move on to a 32 and you got to win, the five games. And then or four games. So you're good to go. So that's my thought process. If they keep it that way, it might be eight games.
Yeah.
Four games for the consumer, maybe not more for the player.
This year we had eight games, right, to the World Cup final.
Yes.
Correct? So probably on the next World Cup, we're going to have nine. What's going to happen is it's that, so the third best place is going to be out. For example, Cape Verde this year qualified as a third in the group. On the next World Cup, that's not going to happen.
That depends if they change the knockout stage. Which if it's 32, then it's the top two in each group, which I don't think is a bad thing.
I think, no. That's what they're going to do, 100%, because it makes no sense to keep it like this. If you're going to expand it, then let's get back to normal and just let two teams on each group qualify
to the next. The third place stuff was
weird. Very confusing, much so. But now you have the teams and now you have the groups to make the first two of each group to qualify to the next round.
Why?
It's easier.
Why we were upset, and especially Colin being schedule guy, Colin had no idea who the hell. Kyle's asking me who's going to be the third place. I'm like, Kyle, I don't have an answer for you yet. Yo, what do you mean you don't have an answer for me? We got to wait and see how it shakes out.
That was a pain in the rear end.
I am against it. I would like to go back to just two teams going through. It's easier that way. It's a lot better to understand. I guess I'm the only one who cares about
about the qualification process.
I do. I think, for someone who's a crazy soccer nut.
It's because the United States had to deal with it. I think that has Italy has to deal with it. Portugal doesn't deal with it. Germany doesn't deal with it.
But also on Mike's point, for example, USA qualification is easy. It's very easy compared to what some Europeans have to do, to what South America has to go through. You play against, again, I like Curaçao, but you play against Curaçao. You play against Aruba. Dominican Republic, those teams don't have any type of soccer heritage. Now, also on that, Mike, again, you might see teams who were, for example, out of this World Cup make it. So we're not missing any big teams, for example. And I'm not trying to be funny. Italy is going to make it. 100%. They need to make it. So if we have a 64 World Cup this year, for example, Italy will have played in the World Cup.
I don't want to make it if I don't deserve it. I'm that kind of... Italy, we didn't deserve it again. We haven't deserved it for the last 3 years. Now we're going to make it out of a pity?
It's not pity,
FIFA ranking, I know they were unlucky in a bunch of games.
Dude, they were the 13th team in the world, and they weren't in the competition.
You can make an argument that they deserved it. based on how quality of team was. But I understand.
I guess I am that soccer nut where when it's the international break for Inter-Miami and Manchester United, I immediately go to what my national teams are up to. Mm-hmm. And I get behind them in the those games aren't going to mean anything. They're going to be so diluted.
For a lot of teams.
It's going to be ridiculous.
You're going to have to get into
ridiculous
Tajikistan and, you know, and whatever
all,
Middle Eastern.
Can I be honest with you?
Uzbekistan.
Yeah. I'm all good. I'm all good, mate. I don't know.
I might get into that.
You'll love it.
100%. Maybe I'll go watch North Macedonia. My buddy Robbie P runs the P League.
Cambodia versus Bangladesh, you know, overnight. Elias,
it's going to be tough. I'll do it.
That'd be a tough game.
I'll do it. Mike, the thing is, like, some teams are good enough to make it to the World Cup.
Germany doesn't deal with it. The United States is probably at the point now where they're never going to have to deal with it again.
Yeah, 100%. Right? Oh, and some teams are good enough to make it to the World Cup. But, you know, bad luck, by chance, they miss out by one goal, 1 point. You know, but they're good enough to make it to the
and
World
Cup. And there's going to be teams that still do not qualify. It's just going to be smaller 100%. Nations. It's going to be smaller nations. It's like when you expand the field in the NCAA tournament, now the teams that get screwed are just worse teams than they were before.
I don't need to see San Marino lose by, you know.
Dude, you're down on it.
13
Bangladesh
goals.
Cambodia.
Bad, Matt. Guys,
Laos versus Costa Rica. Dude, sign me up.
Bad teams, man. There'll be a lot of bad teams.
Dominican Republic versus Haiti.
Call me old school.
Winner gets the island.
Call me old school. Call me old school. Used to mean something to make the World Cup. Elias, used to mean something to make that World Cup.
Well,
used
you know what? If Venezuela makes it to the next World Cup, it will mean something to me. Even though it's a 64 team.
Mickey Mouse pity invitation.
Well,
we got a pity invitation this year because we hosted the whole thing.
But we would have quite, listen, we run. Hey, Kyle, ask me what country
Mike,
runs CONCACAF.
But that's a point.
The United States of America runs CONCACAF since 2018,
that point, the United States doesn't have anything. Right. They have nothing to worry
like
about.
Like I said, dude, don't make me pull my belt out and give you a whoosh, all right? Everyone forgets. I think Mexico forgets who their daddy is in CONCACAF.
Well, you can use the same one Belgium used against you guys.
Yeah, I'm going to, you know, go.
Yeah. But no, that's the point. Like, some teams are good enough to make it, and that will mean something to them, you know? It's different, Mike. I know what you mean. It's a good point, but at the end of the day, it's going to make money. It's going to help those teams to, you know, grow their soccer.
And if they don't change the knockout stage, at the end of the day, it's just more games.
It's just one more game, Mike.
I need the same energy when we go and get the college football playoff expanded.
No, Mike. It's,
why?
I just explained to you why I disagree.
You're phony for this.
We follow the regular season to a T. The regular season is a year's worth of body of work that they use. The World Cup is 4 years worth. Mm-hmm. That is sporadically 3 weeks here, 2 weeks there, one match there.
It's been like that forever, though.
I know it has. But the college football playoff or the MLB is a season's worth of body of work where everybody plays everybody, right? You are qualifying against teams in your federation. You might play in friendlies, which does apparently, according to Damian Perez, count towards FIFA ranking. Mm-hmm. Point being, it's different because you're talking about a one-year season comparatively to a four-year body of work where certain guys aren't playing here or not there, different tournaments here.
If they're available, they're playing, bro.
Different levels of competition. It's different. It's different.
I think you're trying to convince yourself.
I'm not, Mike. I'm not.
I think you're
missing the point.
Because at the end of the day, you are never going to watch Oman play. We always watch the teams in the MLB or the teams in college football. Sure, it's different. You watch these teams regardless. You're not going to watch Tajikistan.
Tell Tajikistan to qualify.
They're going to qualify next World Cup. I'll be there.
Okay. Mike, that's
out of town.
We're all good.
No similarities.
No.
To American sports expanding their playoffs.
I need the same energy.
Mike, you can't
say
that.
When the Buckeyes and Ohio State and the SEC.
No one's thinking about Ohio State.
Big Ten gets four. And by the way, we're talking college football 5-5 coming up next. But when the Big Ten gets four automatic bids, SEC gets four automatic bids,
It's not the same thing. I want to see Dominican Republic go against Costa Rica.
You're downplaying the qualifications that go on for 4 years. You're downplaying that a bit.
I am downplaying that because I do think the wide majority of World Cup consumers do not follow the qualifications. If it's not for the United States, they'll follow that. They will not follow the qualifications what's going on Oceanic province.
If it's not your country, you don't care about it.
I care about
Italy and you care about the United States, both countries had to deal with qualifications the last 6 years.
CONMEBOL, they throw stones at each other in that federation. Those are fun games to watch.
Oh, they are. They are.
Those are fun games to watch. They, my God, the WWE.
Down you can't have both. You want them to throw stones, but all of a sudden they throw stones against Spain, and all of a sudden they're the bad guys. That's where you're a little phony.
That's fine. I will concede to that. But they would say, listen, we can't agree. They did not lose with class yesterday. That was a disgrace.
We'll do the 5 at 5. We'll close out the 4 p.m. hour presented by Giesen 0%. That's